Chapter 29. If there is no alternative, there is no pause. My daughter shall not see its deceptive mother die. Your father shall not know that his daughter fell disgraced, despised by all but her enchanting Melos. Ayo, Farsillo, put up thy threatening dagger into its scabbard. Let it rest and be still, just while I say one prayer for thee, and for my child. If it is too late, thy doom is fixed, thou hast not confessed to heaven or to me, my child's protector thou art to die. Ye powers of earth and heaven, protect and defend me in this alone. Stabs her while imploring for mercy. Ayo, Farsillo, Farsillo, a guiltless death I die. If die, die, die.
Gracia enters running, falls on her knees weeping, and kisses Amelia.
Geo, Farsillo, Farsillo, oh, Farsillo. If I am here, the genius of the age, and the avenger of my wrongs. Geo, lady, speak once more. Sweet Amelia, on, speak again. Gone, gone, yes, forever gone. Farsillo, oh, cold-hearted Farsillo, some evil fiend hath urged you to do this, Farsillo. If say not so again, or you shall receive the same fate. I did the glorious deed, madam, beware, then, how you talk. Gee, I fear not your implements of war. I will let you know you have not the power to do me harm. If you have a heart of triple brass, it shall be reached and melted, and thy blood shall chill thy veins, and grow stiff in thy arteries. Here is the ring of the virtuous and innocent murdered Amelia. I obtained it from Melos, who yet lives, in hopes that he will survive the wound given him, and says he got it clandestinely, declares Amelia, to be the princess of truth and virtue, invulnerable to anything like forgetting her first devotion to thee. The world has heard of your conduct and your jealousy, and with one universal voice declares her to be the best of all in piety, that she is the star of this great universe, and a more virtuous woman never lived since the wheels of time began. Oh, had you waited till tomorrow, or until I had returned, some kind window would have been opened to her relief. But, alas, she is gone, yes, forever gone, to try the realities of an unknown world.
Farsillo leaning over the body of Amelia.
F. Melo's not dead, and here is my ring. Oh, Amelia, falsely murdered. Oh, bloody deed. Oh, wretch that I am. Oh, angels forgive me. Oh, God, withhold thy vengeance. Oh, Amelia, if heaven would make a thousand worlds like this, set with diamonds, and all of one perfect chrysolite, I would not have done this for them all, I would not have frowned and cursed as I did. Oh, she was heavenly true, nursed in the very lap of bright angels. Cursed slave that I am. Jealousy, oh, thou infernal demon. Lost, lost to every sense of honor. Oh, Amelia, heaven-born Amelia, dead, dead. Oh, 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 then let me die with thee. Farewell, farewell, ye world that deceived me.
Stabs himself.
Soon after the excitement of this tragical scene was over, and the enlisted feeling for Amelia had grown more buoyant with Alfonso and Ambulinia, he determined to visit his retired home, and make the necessary improvements, to enjoy a better day. Consequently he conveyed the following lines to Ambulinia. Go tell the world, that hope is glowing. Go bid the rocks their silence break. Go tell the stars, that love is glowing. Then bid the hero his lover take. In the region where scarcely the foot of man hath ever trod, where the woodman hath not found his way, lies a blooming grove, seen only by the sun, when he mounts his lofty throne, visited only by the light of the stars, to whom are entrusted the guardianship of earth, before the sun sinks to rest in his rosy bed. High cliffs of rocks surround the romantic place, and in the small cavity of the rocky wall, grows the daffodil clear and pure, and as the wind blows along the enchanting little mountain which surrounds the lonely spot, it nourishes the flowers with the dewdrops of heaven. Here is the seat of Alfonso. Darkness claims but little victory over this dominion, and in vain does she spread out her gloomy wings. Here the waters flow perpetually, and the trees lash their tops together, to bid the welcome visitor a happy muse. Alfonso, during his short stay in the country, had fully persuaded himself that it was his duty to bring this solemn matter to an issue. A duty that he individually owed, as a gentleman, to the parents of Ambulinia, a duty in itself involving not only his own happiness and his own standing in society, but one that called aloud the act of the parties to make it perfect and complete. How he should communicate his intentions to get a favorable reply, he was at a loss to know. He knew not whether to address Esquire Valier in prose or in poetry, in a jocular or an argumentative manner, or whether he should use moral suasion, legal injunction, or seizure and take by reprisal. If it was to do the latter, he would have no difficulty in deciding in his own mind, but his gentlemanly honor was at stake. So he concluded to address the following letter to the father and mother of Ambulinia, as his address in person he knew would only aggravate the old gentleman, and perhaps his lady. Cumming, Georgia, January 22, 1844, Mr. and Mrs. Valier, again I resume the pleasing task of addressing you, and once more beg an immediate answer to my many salutations. From every circumstance that has taken place, I feel in duty bound to comply with my obligations. To forfeit my word would be more than I dare do. To break my pledge and my vows that have been witnessed, sealed, and delivered in the presence of an unseen deity would be disgraceful on my part, as well as ruinous to Ambulinia. I wish no longer to be kept in suspense about this matter. I wish to act gentlemanly in every particular. It is true, the promises I have made are unknown to any but Ambulinia, and I think it unnecessary to here enumerate them, as they who promise the most generally perform the least. Can you for a moment doubt my sincerity or my character? My only wish is, sir, that you may calmly and dispassionately look at the situation of the case, and if your better judgment should dictate otherwise, my obligations may induce me to pluck the flower that you so diametrically opposed. We have soared by the saints, by the gods of battle, and by that faith whereby just men are made perfect to be united. I hope, my dear sir, you will find it convenient as well as agreeable to give me a favorable answer, with the signature of Mrs. Valier, as well as yourself. With very great esteem, your humble servant, J1. Alfonso. The moon and stars had grown pale when Ambulinia had retired to rest. A crowd of unpleasant thoughts passed through her bosom. Solitude dwelt in her chamber, no sound from the neighboring world penetrated its stillness. It appeared a temple of silence, of repose, and of mystery. At that moment she heard a still voice calling her father. In an instant, like the flash of lightning, a thought ran through her mind that it must be the bearer of Alfonso's communication. "He is not a dream," she said. "No, I cannot read dreams. Oh, I would to heaven I was near that glowing eloquence, that poetical language that charms the mind in an inexpressible manner, and warms the coldest heart." While consoling herself with this strain, her father rushed into her room almost frantic with rage, exclaiming, "H. Ambulinia! Ambulinia, undutiful, ungrateful daughter! What does this mean? Why does this letter bear such heart-rending intelligence? Will you quit a father's house with this debased wretch, without a place to lay his distracted head, going up and down the country, with every novel object that many chance, to wander through this region? He is a pretty man, to make love known to his superiors, and you, Ambulinia, have done but little credit to yourself by honoring his visits. Oh, wretchedness! Can it be that my hopes of happiness are forever blasted? Will you not listen to a father's entreaties, and pay some regard to a mother's tears? I know, and I do pray that God will give me fortitude to bear with this sea of troubles, and rescue my daughter, my Ambulinia, as a brand from the eternal burning. Forgive me, father, oh! Forgive thy child," replied Ambulinia.
My heart is ready to break when I see you in this grieved state of agitation.
Oh,
think not so meanly of me, as that I mourn for my own danger. Father, I am only woman. Mother, I am only the templement of thy youthful years, but will suffer courageously whatever punishment you think proper to inflict upon me, if you will, but allow me to comply with my most sacred promises, if you will, but give me my personal right and my personal liberty.
Oh, Father, if your generosity will, but give me these, I ask nothing more.
When Alfonso offered me his heart, I gave him my hand, never to forsake him, and now may the mighty God banish me, before I leave him in adversity. What a heart must I have to rejoice in prosperity with him whose offers I have accepted, and then, when poverty comes, haggard as it may be, for me to trifle with the oracles of heaven, and change with every fluctuation, that may interrupt our happiness like a politician who runs the political gauntlet for office one day, and the next day, because the horizon is darkened a little, he is seen running for his life, for fear he might perish in its ruins. Where is the philosophy, where is the consistency, where is the charity, in conduct like this? Be happy then, my beloved father, and forget me. Let the sorrow of parting break down the wall of separation, and make us equal in our feeling. Let me now say how ardently I love you. Let me kiss that age-worn cheek, and should my tears bedew thy face, I will wipe them away. Oh, I never can forget you. No, never, never. Weep not, said the father, Ambulinia. I will forbid Alfonso my house, and desire that you may keep retired a few days. I will let him know that my friendship for my family is not linked together by cankered chains, and if he ever enters upon my premises again, I will send him to his long home. H. Father, let me entreat you to be calm upon this occasion, and though Alfonso may be the sport of the clouds and winds, yet I feel assured that no fate will send him to the silent tomb until the God of the universe calls him hence with a triumphant voice. Here the father turned away, exclaiming, "We'll answer his letter in a very few words, and you, madam, will have the goodness to stay at home with your mother. And remember, I am determined to protect you from the consuming fire that looks so fair to your view." Coming, January 22, 1844. Sir, in regard to your request, I am as I ever have been, utterly opposed to your marrying into my family, and if you have any regard for yourself, or any gentlemanly feeling, I hope you will mention it to me no more, but seek some other one who is not so far superior to you in standing. W. W. Valier. When Alfonso read the above letter, he became so much depressed in spirits, that many of his friends thought it advisable to use other means to bring about the happy union. "Strange," said he, "that the contents of this diminutive letter should cause me to have such depressed feelings, but there is a nobler theme than this. I know not why my military title is not as great as that of Squire Valier. For my life I cannot see that my ancestors are inferior to those who are so bitterly opposed to my marriage with Ambulinia. I know I have seen huge mountains before me, yet, when I think that I know gentlemen will insult me upon this delicate matter, should I become angry at fools and babblers, who pride themselves in their impudence and ignorance? No. My equals. I know not where to find them. My inferiors. I think it beneath me, and my superiors. I think it presumption. Therefore, if this youthful heart is protected by any of the divine rights, I never will betray my trust." He was aware that Ambulinia had a confidence that was, indeed, as firm and as resolute as she was beautiful and interesting. He hastened to the cottage of Luia, who received him in her usual mode of pleasantness, and informed him that Ambulinia had, just that moment, left. "Is it possible?" said Alfonso. "H. murdered ours. Why did she not remain, and be the guardian of my secrets? But hasten and tell me, how is he has stood this trying scene, and what are her future determinations?"
Uno, said Luia, Major Alfonso, that you have Ambulinia's first love, which is of no small consequence. She came here about twilight, and shed many precious tears in consequence of her own fate with yours. We walked silently in yon little valley you see, where we spent a momentary repose. She seemed to be quite as determined as ever, and before we left that beautiful spot she offered up a prayer to heaven for thee. We'll see her then, replied Alfonso, though legions of enemies may oppose. She is mine by foreordination, she is mine by prophecy, she is mine by her own free will, and I will rescue her from the hands of her oppressors. Will you not, Miss Luia, assist me in my capture? I will certainly, by the aid of divine providence, answered Luia, endeavor to break those slavish chains that bind the richest of prizes, though allow me, Major, to entreat you to use no harsh means on this important occasion. Take a decided stand, and write freely to Ambulinia upon this subject, and I will see that no intervening cause hinders its passage to her. God alone will save a mourning people. Now is the day and now is the hour, to obey a command of such valuable worth. The Major felt himself grow stronger after this short interview with Luia. He felt as if he could whip his weight in wildcats. He knew he was master of his own feelings, and could now write a letter that would bring this litigation to an issue. Coming, January 24, 1844. Dear Ambulinia, we have now reached the most trying moment of our lives. We are pledged not to forsake our trust. We have waited for a favorable hour to come, thinking your friends would settle the matter agreeably among themselves, and finally be reconciled to our marriage. But as I have waited in vain, and looked in vain, I have determined in my own mind to make a proposition to you, though you may think it not in accord with your station, or compatible with your rank. Yet, sub lac signo vinces. You know I cannot resume my visits, in consequence of the utter hostility that your father has to me. Therefore the consummation of our union will have to be sought for in a more sublime sphere, at the residence of a respectable friend of this village. You cannot have any scruples upon this mode of proceeding, if you will, but remember it emanates from one who loves you better than his own life, who is more than anxious to bid you welcome to a new and happy home. Your warmest associates say come, the talented, the learned, the wise, and the experienced say come, all these with their friends say come. Viewing these, with many other inducements, I flatter myself that you will come to the embraces of your Alfonso, for now is the time of your Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.